Welcome to the weekly podcast from City Light Church in Lethbridge. For more teaching or to find out more about life at CLC, please visit our website at citylightchurch.ca.
It's just amazing to see you guys here today. So, to get you guys involved, I thought I would start with a little bit of wordplay this morning. So what we're going to do is I'm going to get a word up on the screen here, and I want you guys to say the first thing that comes to your mind. Turn to your neighbor and just say the first thing that comes to your mind. I don't want you to overthink it. Just want it to be really quick. Born again Christian. So wouldn't it be interesting just to see like what you guys said to this and have it all up on the screen here so everyone can see your reaction to born again Christian? Or yeah, wouldn't it be good to just go outside in the streets and start asking people what their response was when they heard born again Christian? You get a lot of interesting responses, I'm sure. Responses, you might hear things like this: narrow-minded, uptight, rigid, hypocrite. Ouch, those are tough words. It's just interesting what people in the world will say. When you ask people about Christians, they might say, I went to school with a Christian. He kind of kept to himself, didn't really talk to me much. Or maybe you would say, they seem to hang out with only their own types. Certainly not the likes of me. Do you know within the first year of giving your life to Jesus, most people only hang out with other Christians? Most saved people, like their friends and the people they call close to them, are all Christians. And they completely abandon the world outside of that community. It's tough to reach people when we do that. They might say things like, I know what a born-again Christian. She is the worst to be around. I always feel judged when I'm around her. If I even look at her the wrong way, she's so self-righteous and haughty. Just totally exhausting to be around. Or maybe something like this. Christians, classic simpletons. They try to take the Bible and God to explain all of life's most difficult issues and trying things we go through. Give me a break. You know, these are beliefs that are out there about Christians and that people hold. It sucks, right? I wish instead of negative stereotypes that surround Christians, people would have a different take on things. Kind of when people are asked what they think about Christians, they might say things like, Christians? I can't speak for all of them, but the ones I know, they're just chock full of integrity. They have a strong moral compass. Or maybe, the ones I come across are ridiculously filled with compassion. They're just simply kind people. Or Christians, they tell the truth and always shoot you straight. Or Christians, they have concern for the poor like nobody else has concern for the poor. Or Christians, they are humble, they are honest, they have an incredible inner strength. Christians, they are inclusive of all people, no matter what their background is or what their lifestyle choices are. It's totally amazing. These are the things people should be saying about us. Or Christians, they're always taking walks across the room. Whenever someone needs help or encouragement, Christians are the first ones to step up to the plate. These are the views that I wish people held about us as Christians. I also wish that people would talk about us as when we say our faith story, we're so clear and succinct, and that we're just unbelievably pumped to tell other people about Jesus and share our faith journey, and that we're humble and we're interesting, and that people would just say that they love to hear our stories. Can I ask you something? Is this how you would like people to speak about Christians? Is this how you want people to speak about you? Sure, how I want people to speak about me. I hope your answer is yes, because that's what we're going to talk about today. So if you're ready to communicate like a walk across the room person, then today's message is for you. Today, my goal is simply to answer these two questions. How do we talk about God in a way that is full of clarity and passion? And how do we convey our personal faith stories in a way that is humble and interesting? Two simple questions, but they're incredibly vital to our walk with God and if we're going to share our faith with anyone outside of these walls. So point number one, stories are powerful. The power of story, it's on display throughout the Bible, the Old Testament, the New Testament. It's all about stories. I just want to flood your mind right now with a ton of Bible verses that speak to how incredibly powerful words can be. Words have great power. So let's go through these. Ecclesiastes chapter 6, verse 11. Says that when you use sparsely and succinctly, words carry great meaning. Psalms chapter 119, verse 130 says that words can actually give light. Words can give understanding to those who don't yet understand. Proverbs chapter 12, verse 18 says that although reckless words pierce like a sword, words from the tongue of the wise can actually bring healing. Proverbs 17, 27 says that when used with restraint, words prove you're a person of knowledge. Ecclesiastes chapter 9, verse 17 says that words you speak will be heeded when they are spoken quietly. Proverbs chapter 16, verse 24 says that pleasant words are a honeycomb, sweet to the soul, healing to the bones. Isn't that a great image? That words can be like that? Ecclesiastes chapter 10, verse 12 says that although a fool is consumed by his own lips, the words from a wise man's mouth are gracious. Deuteronomy chapter 32, verse 2 says words can actually descend like dew, like showers on new grass, like abundant rain on tender plants. And the list goes on and on and on. There's so many verses in the Bible that talk about words and their power. Humble words, healing words, gentle words, grace-filled words. I wonder, is this the type of talk that comes out of your mouth? If we were asked the people closest to you, your loved ones, would they say that your words are full of grace? Better yet, if I asked that driver who cut you off, what would he say? Would he say that your words are filled with encouragement or maybe something else? Take this morning, for example. Do you guys remember what you were talking about before you came into these doors? What was the last conversation you had? Were those words giving and inspiring and full of grace? Or were they, well, not? I know a lot of times Sunday morning can be tough for me if I'm rushing around trying to get ready, trying to get all the kids out the door. And sometimes your heart isn't always in that place where it should be on a Sunday morning to praise God and enter into worship. It's interesting how God allows such great power to inhabit our words. We have the power to do good and the power to do ill, all through our words. So if we could somehow harness this great power and use these words for good, if we could be known for being clear and humble and succinct and relevant, then we might be able to start overturning some of those perceptions that are out there. It makes sense to me. If somehow we can convey ourselves and put ourselves to the people around us in a way that is pleasing, then maybe the world starts stop saying all those negative things and start saying some of those positive things that I went through. I believe there are two major areas that we need to improve the way we speak if we could overturn these negative perceptions. Number one, how we talk about God. This is explaining who he is, what he has done. And number two, how we talk about our personal relationship with God. Just explain the main thing he's done in our lives. So what is God's story? What is your story? And how can we tell them both well? When you tell your story, you want your listeners to walk away and say that, I understood that, that I enjoyed, and you want them asking how they can get some of that into their lives. You want to be contagious. This is what we're tackling today. We're just talking about how to tell our stories and how to tell God's story simply, so that we can reach people for Jesus. Last week, Pastor Doug spoke on the importance of making friendships, and when you approach people, not to have this hidden agenda, to build authentic relationships. It's so important to be a good listener and not just do all the talking, and kind of really be in tune with the Spirit and speak when he prompts you to. I believe in this Just Walk Across the Room series. You know, if you begin to put these steps into practice, everything we've been talking about, that means engaging with people, living in 3D, making the first move, walking across the room, the whole bit. If you do this, then doors are going to start to be opened, spiritually speaking. God will give you opportunity to share your faith. And in that moment, you want to make sure you're prepared. You want to make sure you're ready. In that moment, I hope that you're glad you showed up here today, and I hope that you can take away something from today's message, even if statistically this is the least attended Sunday. It's good that you guys are here. So in that moment, when you're asked to tell your faith story, you should be cool, calm, collected, maybe even a little excited. Like, this is our purpose. This is why we're here. This is what you want to talk about, really? You want to talk about God? Great. You know, this is how I understand it works. Dot, dot, dot. God has a story, and it's on you, it's on me to tell it well. If we don't tell it, no one's going to tell it. So what would you say if someone in your current social circle walked up to you and they said this? They're like, you know, Jake, I'm going to stick with Jake because I heard Pastor Doug's message last week. Jake's a good warden. So, Jake, we've been friends for a long time. And, you know, you've been really cool not to force this whole God thing on me, even though you probably knew all along that, you know, I'd be better off with God in my life. But anyways, I guess you could say my marriage has gone a little south. You know, me and my wife, we're not doing so well. We're falling apart. And we thought we'd give this whole God thing a try, maybe going to church. And I was just wondering if you could sort of explain this, the whole deal to me. What is it about God that so many people are attracted to? Is God really that important to have in my life? So when something like this happens, this is the most widest open door that you're ever going to have to share your faith. It doesn't get much easier than this. And some of you here, when you have that open door, you're not too thrilled. Your palms get a little sweaty, and you're like, oh, now I got to talk about God. He's basically asking me right out. So if you weren't excited and you weren't cool and calm and collected, then you might need a little help in sharing God's story. I'm going to share with you this very, very simple way to explain God's story. It's incredibly simple. And if you've been a Christian for a while, you've probably heard of this method before. It's called the bridge method, and it's basically the best way and the simplest way to explain what God did by sending his son Jesus. So next time you find yourself in this situation where someone's asking you to share God's story, just grab a piece of paper or a napkin, or better yet, download a Doodle app on your phone and just write out this simple bridge. So first, on the next slide, you draw two sides with a dip in the middle. And on the one side, you write people, and on the other side, you write God. And then you say that there's a divide that separates the two sides. And this divide exists because people, they keep doing things that go against God, and they want to go their own way. They don't want to follow God. And the Bible calls this sin. So then you write the word sin down on the middle there. And the problem is that at the core of every single person, we long to be closer to God. We try to jump over this divide on our own in different ways, but no bridge that we build within our own human efforts will ever get us closer to God. And then you say, but thankfully, God loved us so much that he made a way for us to be close to him. And you draw on a cross. And you say, God chose to send his son so that we can be with him. And after you draw this simple drawing, just explain that Christ came to earth to be our bridge. And whoever makes the decision by asking him into our heart to cross over that bridge will live with God forever. And then you can say John chapter 5, 24. It goes perfectly. It says, I tell you the truth. Whoever hears my word and believes him who sent me has eternal life and will not be condemned. He has crossed over from death to life, from people to God. That's it. So easy, so simple. You don't have to use this illustration, but whatever you use, just make sure it's easy to understand, simple, right to the point. You don't need to get into some huge theological debate with the person. Like, this is the starting point. And sometimes if you get into those debates, you'll end up losing them, or you'll just get frustrated yourself and angry. So stick to this when you're trying to tell God's story. Now, Are they going to say, oh, I want to become a Christian right now as soon as you show them this diagram? Maybe, but maybe not. And if it's not, that's okay. The point is just to start to get them thinking about what God did for them, thinking about his love for them, thinking about different things they've tried in their lives to try to be closer to God, and how maybe this way is the right way. Maybe this way that you're saying is the only way to get closer to God is something that I'm interested in. So God and his Spirit is going to do the work. We just have to be willing vessels. Don't put too much pressure on yourself. Part of being willing to share about God's story and sharing with other people is also sharing our story. And that's my next point, is that you have a story and you need to learn to tell it well. So you know God's story, you can use that diagram, but you have a story. It's a powerful story, and you should be striving to tell it well. Any one of you guys that have decided to follow Jesus has an inspiring story to tell. I don't want you to sell yourself short and say, well, it's not really that impressive. Like, I was a kid, or I hear other people's stories about their before and afters, and mine isn't that life-changing. But no matter how it happened, it's powerful. Because you were living one way, you were doing one thing, you were being one way, you had a thinking that was one way. And then boom, you met Jesus, and all that changed. And everything was completely flipped on its head, and you started living a different way, acting a different way. That's powerful. No matter how it happened, it has power. I want to look at Luke chapter 5 with you guys. It tells the story of a leper, a man with leprosy, a disease that basically makes you an outcast, and your body starts falling apart. And I really like the way the Message version puts it. So let's just read through it together. One day in one of the villages, there was a man covered with leprosy. When he saw Jesus, he fell down before him in prayer and said, if you want to, you can cleanse me. Jesus put out his hand, touched him, and said, I want you to be clean. Then and there, his skin was smooth and the leprosy was gone. Could you imagine how that man felt in that moment? He had this disease, and then Jesus touched him, and he was healed. I mean, he couldn't help but be excited. He couldn't help but just run around and tell everyone what happened and saying, like, a minute ago, you know, my skin was angry. It was erupting. But now look at it. It's clean. It's smooth. It's clean. I'm healed. His skin was molding and rotting. But now it's as if I was never sick. It's so unreal. His hopelessness, his helplessness. Everything is gone. Jesus fixed everything. You know, this guy can breathe again and live again, and he has hope. You know, he must wanted to feel like he wanted to die before Jesus healed him, and now he has a whole new life, and he feels whole. He literally was losing parts of himself, falling off of his body, and Jesus put him back together. And that's kind of what happens when we accept we have a before and an after. The story is clear. Our faith story should be just the same. You know, this guy was sick, and now he's healed. He was an outcast. Now he's accepted. He was defiled and tainted, but now he is pure. He was dirty, but now he was clean. He was living in despair, but now he has a future. This was a story that this guy could tell, and he would have honed on in any one of those aspects, shared it with people around him, and people would listen because it was his story. It was personal. They could relate. That's what our stories are. They're personal, and people can relate to them. And as followers of Jesus, we share in this man's story because we have a before and we have an after. And that's all people need to hear about right out of the gates. You don't need to tell them too much. Just a little bit of your life before Jesus, then your experience in coming to Jesus, and your life after that. It's changed for the better. I don't want you to put too much pressure on yourself when you're trying to tell your story, because that's when you get into trouble too. You don't want to be nervous, but just comfortable. Just be honest and humble. It's your story, and like I said, it's powerful. It could be things like this, like, I was crazy, now I'm at peace. I was self-destructive, but now I'm healthy. I was guilty, but now I'm liberated. I was fear-stricken, but now I'm confident. Despairing, But now I'm hopeful. These are two extremes. And even when you think about your story and what you did, I know you can relate to something up there on the screen, something that almost infected your life, something that was like a disease to you. But after you saw Jesus and you had Jesus inside you, you had one of those things in the green side. And it replaced it. It's amazing. Doesn't need to be complicated, guys. Just clear, succinct. I'm going to go through a couple things that when you're telling your story, you want to stay away from these things. They're what I like to call pitfalls. So if you fall into these pitfalls, instead of people coming to Jesus, they're going to turn around and run away because they don't want any of this. So number one, you need to learn to shut up, right? Like sometimes you can go on and on and on and you start losing people with your story if it just goes on too long. And you got to be aware of their body language, right? If they're looking at their watch or maybe looking away or if they're falling asleep, if drool begins to come out of their mouth, that's probably a pretty good sign that you're going on too long and you should just end it right there. Second pitfall, you need to be clear. Can't stress this enough. Your story, it gets derailed if you're fuzzy. If you're like, was it 92 or 93? It's like, they don't know. Like, what do you expect them to give you the answer? It's your story. You need to know what happened. And you need to have beginnings and you need to have ends to each section. Don't get tangled in all these storylines. And sometimes you're like, did she even finish that point? And now she's on this one. It's like, whoa. Just going to leave them exhausted, frustrated, even baffled at what you're trying to say. Third pitfall, use words they understand. So there's words in our church, and as you go to church for a while that you hear, I like to call it Christianese. Like it's to the outside world, they have no idea what these words are. They're more than three syllables long, words like sanctification, justification, and there's just so many words we use as Christians that people outside of these doors, they're not going to get. So when you're talking to someone about Jesus, just use the words you would normally talk to them about. Don't all of a sudden change your language just because you're trying to explain what Jesus did in your life. And number four, the big one, don't play the hero card. This is so important. Like if you go around and you say, well, now that I have Jesus, I am perfect. Now that I have Jesus, I don't do those things anymore. I am so good and so much better than all those people that don't have Jesus and just like the Pharisees. What that does is just totally destroys your credibility because these people will see you living one way and falling short and messing up and you take your foot and you jam it way in your mouth and then anything else you told them, they're like, well, I don't believe you. How could you have done that? So that's why it's so important to be honest about yourself. And say, yes, I am better off because of Jesus, and I have all these things because of Jesus, but I'm not perfect, because nobody's perfect except for Jesus himself. And the best way to avoid these pitfalls is to write out your story. Actually sit down, think about it, start with your life before Jesus. How was it like? What was there? And then when you accepted him, you can talk about when and where. And then after Jesus, how has your life changed for the better? It's not complicated. It's simple. You don't have to overthink these things. You don't need a 30-minute message either. Try to keep it short. You should be able to say everything that happened between 100, 200 words. Doesn't need to be complicated. So after you've done it and you've written it out, like, I want you guys to actually do this. You're just looking at me like, oh, that sounds like a good idea. No, I want you to go, and I want you to write out your story. And then I want you to share it with someone close to you, whether it's your wife, family member, or close friend. Then you're going to ask them, does it have any of these pitfalls that I went over in it? And you might have to change some things, or it might be too long. And once you get it to a point where you think you've hammered it out, then it's good. Then I want you to commit it to memory, because this is your story. You need to know it well. I know Christians have those negative stereotypes that I was talking about. But if we can tell God's story well, and we can tell our story well, we're going to start changing the way people think about Christians. That's the power of story. I mean, I love great storytellers. I love just listening to people who have this ability to tell a story and bring you to a place and create the entire atmosphere. And as Christians, we are storytellers. Jesus was a storyteller, right? Think about the way Jesus preached. He always was telling a story. It's so important that we learn to tell these stories well to people around us. I want everyone here at City Light Church to be good examples of Christians who tell stories. So I've written out a little bit of my story, and I've tried to stuck to the easy things and stay away from the pitfalls. So it's pretty straightforward. So I just want to share this with you guys just to show you how simple it can be and what the example is. So as a child, I was very anxious. I was a loner. I never liked to leave the house. You know, school caused me so much stress. I was in constant fear of how other people viewed me. And that all changed the day that I accepted Jesus. When I was 16 at a youth conference, I heard the pastor talking about how Jesus could give you a new life. Now, I'd known about Jesus before that. I'd been in church. But on that day, I decided to have a relationship with Jesus. And I knew that Jesus was the only one who could give my confidence that huge boost. Because it wasn't based on anything I did in my own strength. It wasn't anything on my own courage, but it came from the Lord. And I had a king and a father that set me on a path of overcoming all my social anxieties. And since then, I've gone on to speak in front of hundreds of people, believe it or not, and share my story with boldness. And I have a beautiful wife, 5 amazing kids, and I'm so blessed, all because I chose to follow him. That's it, right? It doesn't have to be that complicated. And if you combine the bridge method with your story as a starting point to bring people to Jesus, you're going to reach people. I encourage every one of you to work on your stories. Even if you've done it before, do a refresher. Try to get it even more succinct, more clear. Say it with passion. When's the last time that you shared your story with a non-believer? Be honest. You know, for some of us, it's been a really long time. For some of us, we've never done it, really. You can be a Christian 25 years, never share your story with a non-believer. Isn't that kind of sad? Because we're called, and Jesus left this world and gave us this great commission to go make disciples of all men. The point is that he was asking us, go share your story. Share what I did. Share what God did by sending me on the cross and how he rose me again to forgive your sins, and that I'm the only way. I'm the light and the truth. And then share your own story. So that's what Jesus is asking us to do. So if it's been a long time, like, don't feel bad about it. Just do something about it. If we started to live like this and we started to tell people these clear stories in our society, like if we went out and told people at work just God, about God like this, we shared our story just simply, doesn't have to be anything great, you know what would happen? People would start coming into this church. There would be more people coming into this church because they would want what we have. They would want some of what makes us who we are. Like, you are the message. You are the story. You are a face of Jesus that these non-believers can put on him. Sure, we can come to church and we can worship and we can experience the Spirit, and we know that God is real because of that. But if you're not a Christian and you're not coming to church, you're not experiencing that Spirit and you're not experiencing the truth of who Jesus is. So how are they going to know if it's not through us? How are people going to learn? And more churches are just recycling Christians in and out from other churches, and they're getting believers from other churches coming in. And I think the goal at City Light Church that Pastor Doug and I, we want to see is new unbelievers, unchurched people coming in here because we're doing what the vision and the mission of this church is. And that's reaching people for Jesus, making biblical disciples through those relationships, one person at a time. All you have to do is invite one person. Do this with one person. Walk across the room and break the barrier with one person. That's it. And if you do that, and if you do it through a relationship and through a friendship, and you're being authentic and humble, then they're going to come to church, and they're going to sit in here, and then they're going to be given the opportunity to give their life to Jesus, and then they're going to get saved, and it's going to be awesome, and we can all celebrate together. Because when we come together and we celebrate lost souls coming to Jesus, the angels are celebrating with us. It talks about that in the Bible. So we need to start bringing people, and we need to start sharing our story. Just get out there and get it done. Amen.